What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Sadly, we need to acknowledge the space that we're in, and we're in a Monday, so let's acknowledge it. Let's bless it. Let's make it the best possible Monday we can make it, and just cross our fingers until Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, it sucks that like we spoke so much about acknowledging the space we were in when we were in a good space.
And of course.
And now we have to do it for that same negative space.
That's life, by the way. Like, you literally only acknowledge the space that you're in like when it's positive. You don't want to acknowledge when it's negative, but here we are acknowledging both the positive and the negative.
Okay, well, let me present you an idea. What if we acknowledge the space that we're in and try and focus on like any positives about the space?
What if we acknowledge the space that we're in and choose to ignore it? I think that's good.
No, but like there are some positives about today. First full day, Passover is over.
That's true. I had my granola bar this morning, which
no
I haven't been able to have.
No more binding stomach issues.
Yesterday, I cleaned out the kitchen and I threw away all the matzah, and it was literally like the best day of my life.
Yeah, so that's a positive about the space that we're in.
That's true. Like, I can have rice for dinner. Like, rice was so... I actually could go another week, dead serious, without like actual bread, pasta, sliced bread. I was dying, itching for rice.
Yeah, you're addicted to rice.
100%. Mm-hmm. And you know what? You can have potatoes and fries, and like that wasn't even enough to satiate me.
I know. I was like making fries at home.
That's sad.
I know. Well, they were fine. Like, they just weren't good enough. Like, I could have ordered McDonald's if I wanted to. I don't know. Last year, I was like so into the potatoes and chips, but this year, not so much.
It wasn't enough for me, Dianu.
Like, Dianu.
It was not enough for me, and I just missed rice so much, and I cannot wait to go out to like dinner and have like sushi.
Yeah, that's really exciting. Also, acknowledging the space that we're in, it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. It's 55 degrees. It was a chilly weekend. It was also Ben's birthday. So we're celebrating a lot of simchot. So I think there's plenty of positives in the space to currently acknowledge.
And also acknowledging the space that we're in and kicking off Ben's birthday. He kicked off like the birthday season.
Yeah, for our family.
We have so many birthdays in the next 3 months. And
Zach Shapiro, Zach Weinreb, Margot Ashray are all in May, right?
Yeah, they're all in 1 week.
Yeah, it's very tight.
We got Theo 420.
Stop. I can't even talk about the fact that Theo's turning four, because like I literally will end up opening one of these windows and throwing myself out of it.
That's crazy. Four is grown.
Like, do you want me to cry? Like, seriously, change
okay,
the subject.
I'm going to move on to another anniversary celebration. Toast anniversary is
yes.
coming up.
Is it our fourth year or third?
Third.
Okay, I was going to age us.
We're going into our fourth. You know what? Like, anniversaries
no,
are...
canceled. We started 2018 to 2019, 2019 to 2020, 2020 to 2021 is our third anniversary.
Okay, yeah, but we're going into year four.
Yeah. But
which is crazy.
It came up on my time hop because, like, I guess 2 years ago, we threw an anniversary party, which we should make more. Well, obviously not this year or last year, but we need to make sure we continue that tradition of throwing an anniversary party and inviting all of our friends and colleagues.
No, I think that we will. I'm so glad that we did it then, because we have all the memories to look back on, and we were just looking
amazing
like
photos.
So fucking snatched.
Yeah, we were looking like sickening.
We just like woke up and decided to be snatched.
Yeah,
that day.
We woke up and chose to snatch wigs.
Actually, no, like choosing snatchiness takes months of preparation.
Years of eternity. But yes, it is our third year anniversary. So for those who are new, for those who have been here from the beginning, we love and appreciate you, and thank you for listening to the show.
Yeah, so it's always a new time, and I do feel like with Passover, it is signaling like the rebirth, the new season. And
spring has sprung, essentially.
Spring has sprung, but I feel like with new season of Toast, like, we're really also celebrating the new season.
Yeah, I mean, we do seasons, but they start in, like, the beginning of the year. But season, like, metaphorically, yes, of
yes,
course, of course,
yes,
of course.
Yes,
of course.
So that's the good stuff about the space that we're in.
Yeah, we also have a great show, of course, so that's always important to acknowledge. We have a Real Housewives of Atlanta recap at the end of the show, and I don't have much to say, but I'll do my best.
Yeah.
And we have the Fast Five. And
did you watch any other stuff this weekend?
No.
Or read anything?
No. This should come as a shock to no one. I was pretty much on a 3-day bender. Have not stopped drinking since the weekend started. And I'm curious if other people are struggling with this kind of post-pandemic fatigue issue. Because, like, for me, in the last, like, month since, you know, vaccines have started to roll out and the city's really pretty much open, I have been going out so much and, like, partying so much. And it's, like, wearing on me. But, like, I feel this, like, inane, I don't know if that's the right word, like this internal guilt to like keep innate. Going out because I couldn't go out for so long, but like I'm tired too. And like, I don't want to turn down plans because I know like me a year ago would be dying to say yes to these plans. But my body, like if I were to listen to my body would say, stay the fuck inside.
Well, I think,
I'm listening to my head.
I think that you can't compare like right now to a year ago. Go at your own pace, listen to your body, acknowledge the space that you're in, and still use your judgment. You don't have to all of a sudden go to everything. That's not who you are.
No, I've been dancing at every party, you know, metaphorically.
You can't dance at every wedding. That's the truth. But you haven't been to a wedding in so long. Like, how
so
could you
maybe
not?
You should.
Yeah.
So that's currently what I'm dealing with.
I would say pace yourself. You know your body better than anyone. Just listen to it.
Yeah. If I'm listening to her right now, she's mad at me for like what we did this weekend. Like no sleep.
She was always
bus,
mad.
Club. Another club. Bus. You know?
She was always mad about that. You know, that's also just
she never feels good, though.
That's part of the, as long as you're having fun at the things that you're doing, you're always going to have to pay the price.
Yeah, no. And I saw some great celebrities this weekend, like out and about in town. I saw Zayn and Gigi.
And?
So tall, so skinny, so in love.
Nice.
Yeah, they were like literally huddled over each other the whole time. No bebe in sight, but that's okay because I'm sure they have a nanny.
It's parents' night
out. I think they can afford one.
P&L.
Yeah, no, it was cute. It was actually just like crazy to be in the presence of like two people so famous. I was thinking to myself, like, this is, you know, maybe the closest I'll get to a One Direction reunion. That's where my head was at.
No, I think you'll get closer sometime.
Yeah, well,
I think
not
you'll
with
be at like a concert once, like Harry Styles and like Niall is there.
Yeah, you know, I've actually been thinking a lot about Niall Horan. I'm so glad you brought that up. Because I've been really, really, even though quarantine is over, I've been really spending a lot of time inside the Quarantine playlist, which is such a fabulous place to be. And a couple days ago, I was listening to that song that he wrote for some music. When nothing's out of reach, it feels like I'm finally free. Right.
So I was finally free from the movie Smallfoot.
Smallfoot, thank you. And so I was listening to it, and then it just like caused me to just go back and appreciate some of Niall Horan's music. And if you would have told me like the day that One Direction broke up, that Niall Horan, out of all them, in my opinion, would have some of the most popular and arguably best music out of all the soloists in One Direction. Like, you would have, like, I never would have believed you. Like, yes, Harry's is more critically acclaimed, more award-winning, but I think Niall's is way more, like, accessible pop music, radio hits, and he's really undervalued in the music industry, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you're seeing him. Everyone deserves to be seen. And I see Niall Horan. I actually saw him in concert. Literally, I saw him.
You have seen him for
a
while.
I have seen him. I have laid eyes. And it was a great night. It was the Flickr World Tour. We bought merch. It said Flickr, but it looked like it said fucker.
Because the L and the I.
The L and the I, like, were connected. So Snitch and I had a good laugh about that.
That's actually a great t-shirt to have, a fucker t-shirt.
And it was really a great night. And also, it was like a split concert. I wouldn't say one was opening for the other because it didn't feel that way, with Maren Morris.
Oh, that is good.
So we just had a great night.
I do find it interesting when people go on tour together. They don't like open for each other. They go on tour together. And it's like, what is the better slot, first or last?
Last.
Interesting.
Well, and I'm sure like the argue, like when you're first, you can acknowledge that space. So you're going to make the argument that it's better. You get to go home earlier. You know, you get to be performing when it's like light out, which is just like better lighting. Mm-hmm. But
you can't avoid the fact that, like, second is better.
The headliner is the second.
Well, I was watching Joan Rivers' documentary recently for, like, the 50th time, and she, amongst the million things she was doing, she did a show in Atlantic City. She co-performs with Don Rickles. And she was like, when we first started, like, I asked to go first because, like, I wanted to get home first. And so she's like, everyone thinks, like, Don Rickles has a better spot, but I actually have the better spot.
Right. So I think it could go both ways.
It's just like
but
a personal
I also
thing.
Think if two people are going on tour 50-50, like, how come, and the second slot is the better slot and they're equally big artists, like, why don't they switch off every night?
And, by the way, usually they bring out the second artist. Like, I'm sure Maren sang Seeing Blind, right?
Yes, so you have to wait.
Yeah, you have to wait. You can't go home anyway. So yeah. It actually sucks to go first. But that song, Seeing Blind, is so good.
Yeah. Also, just while we're on the subject, because you brought up Smallfoot, kids' movies, I just have an update about Descendants, something that I learned about Descendants 4. Mm-hmm. Descendants 4, The Royal Wedding, is going to be animated. Wait, animated movie.
Wait, what?
Like, cartoon.
I don't understand.
Cartoon. The characters are, like, voicing their characters, and it's going to be cartoon. Like,
but is it, like, a continuation of the story?
Yeah, because they were like engaged and now it's the royal wedding. No, and you know what it is? You know what it is? It's a disgrace is what it is.
Yeah, you can't just change mid-franchise from animated, from real life to animated.
No, it's so disgraceful. It's so hurtful. And like, we put up with a lot with Descendants 3 and to do this on number 4.
That's fucking weird.
Who asked for this?
That's weird. Kenny Ortega should know better.
It's sick, the whole thing.
Sick. Sick in the head.
So I was so excited last week, and I'm no longer excited.
I'm sorry for you that that's been taken away.
It's okay, because I didn't know. Like, I'm just going to go back to a few days ago where I didn't even know Descendants 4 was, like, two words I would put together.
Well, actually, speaking of franchises, Ben, because it was his birthday, and, like, you know, you can't say no to someone on their birthday, he's been, like, begging me to watch Harry Potter with him, because, like, he's obsessed. Like, he read the books, he loves the movies, and I obviously say no, but I literally could not say no to him on his birthday, so we watched it, like, on Saturday afternoon, and we had... He chose one because I said, don't show me one where, like, the kids, when they're young, they're cute. Then there's a few movies where they're, like, a little weird looking because they're going through puberty. And then they, like, grow up to look like themselves. And I'm like, don't show me any of, like, the puberty ones. Like, I hate watching kids go through puberty, like Bran Stark syndrome. I don't like it. And we watched number 4. And I have to say, I love franchises. Like, Twilight, like, and I think a lot of them get bad reputations. I have to say, like, this movie was a piece of shit. Like, and I don't mean to offend, like, the Harry Potter community, but oh my God, like, that's your hero. Like, literally the worst movie of all time. And it never ended. And I'm saying that knowing that, you know who one of the main characters in the prison, no, what was the movie called? I don't know. Azkaban.
The one that you watched, Prisoner of Azkaban?
But that's not number 4.
Sorcerer's Stone?
Goblet of Fire, thank you. Do you know who the main character is in Goblet of Fire?
Who?
I'll give you one clue. Edward Cullen.
Robert Pattinson?
Yes.
He's in it?
He's literally the star.
So you must have loved it.
You would think, because he was young and so cute, like, so handsome. He must have been, like, 16. Like, you could tell he was going to grow up to be, like, you know, the blood-sucking vampire of our dreams, but he was just, like, had this youth and this innocence, and I couldn't believe it. And so I was, like, actually into the movie at first, but oh my God, they dragged it out so long, and it was so bad.
Wow. I mean, I would never think that you would like it. And I feel like if you ever would like it, you really do need to watch it from the beginning to care at all.
No. I've seen Sorcerer's Stone.
I think I saw the first three.
And me
then
too.
I saw the third one and I found it to be so scary. Like, there was a big tree and the campers were quaking.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I don't watch scary movies. What the fuck is this? So I am not a Harry Potter stan.
Harry Potter.
I think that if I took the time to watch each movie now as an adult with maybe, like, I could handle it, I'm sure I would find it to be really good. I'm sure it's, like...
No, I'm telling you, like, there is a myth. Like, it's not good.
Really?
Like, I can't believe people who like that, like, judge us for watching Twilight. Like, now having seen, like, a lot of Harry Potter and all of Twilight, like, it, like, bothers me that, like, Harry Potter is, like, critically acclaimed and, like, Twilight is, like, considered, like, you know, trash.
I've never compared the two. Like, to me, when I'm thinking about Harry Potter, I'm like, reminded of Game of Thrones.
Yes, me as well.
So how many movies did you watch?
One.
Okay.
But I've seen 3. So now I've seen 4 out of 6.
What do people say is the best movie?
I feel like the early ones. People really like the first one. Oh, everyone really enjoys the last two. Unfortunately, like, they just lost me on number 4, and I will not be making it to 5 and 6.
Yeah, but you know which one I did like? Number 7.
Love number 7. Is that a story today?
No, it's not. So let's just talk about him.
Okay, we talk about number 7 all the time here on The Toast. And again, it's really niche Gen Z drama. So let us explain it to you from an old person's perspective.
And we have explained it. And it's not drama. It's like the most...
It's not drama. Sorry. It's news.
Yeah.
So this video had went viral on TikTok and we've spoken about it a lot of times.
We posted it to our Instagram and we'll re-up it later today in our Instagram stories.
Because it was just like this pure video of like this football team, high school football team in Michigan, like celebrating after a win. And I guess like their, you know, tradition is to sing Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe Lover by Justin Bieber featuring Sean Kingston. And it was just like a hilarious video that went viral because it was so precious. And the quarterback, I assume.
Number 7.
He was kind of the star of the video and he just looked like so cute and everyone like... All these 30-year-olds were like, well, who is this, you know, 17-year-old who's making our heart flutter?
Uh-huh.
And so he's just like, the video went viral And he's just been like living his life as like a viral sensation. He's actually going to Harvard to play football. Like, he's really good. I found out literally a few days ago, and I think it like just happened, that he is dating Kendall Vertez from Dance Moms, Jill's daughter. I know we all remember Jill's daughter.
Yeah.
Big deal. Huge.
So I never watched Dance Moms, so I...
Oh my God, you didn't?
No. So what? I don't know Kendall. I'm so sorry to disappoint you.
No, no. Don't be sorry. Like, you have a journey ahead of you. Dead
you
ass.
Think I would like it at this point?
Oh my God.
Really?
You would love it. It's twisted. Like, it's so... excuse me. I'm alive. Am I? Yes. Okay. It's so good. And there's so many stars born. Chloe Lukasiak, who is a toaster. Maddie Ziegler. Yes. Of course, Kenzie. Naya. Like, there's just... It's so fucking good. And honestly, you should watch it. If not for any other reason, then just get to know Principal Holly.
Okay.
She is really the only one with her head screwed on straight.
Okay. Maybe I will. Maybe.
And then, oh my God, in the beginning, like the whole candy apple drama. Jackie, you will die. Like, it's so fucking funny.
Okay.
And the dances, like, I actually think it's interesting to watch. They're actually, like, really good dancers.
Yeah, that I didn't know.
Yeah. It's good.
So... Number seven.
Oh, sorry. Is dating Kendall. So Kendall wasn't, I believe, a part of the original cast. She came in a little later on, and she was very good, like a major threat. Like the pyramid was quaking. You'll understand that reference in a few days.
Okay. And so how do you feel about the relationship?
Everything. Like, I think it's, I love an age-appropriate relationship. I love like two, you know, Instagram stars finding love. I think they're probably, he's from Michigan, and she has to live in Pittsburgh because that's where Abby Lee Dance Company was,
Founded,
yes. And I think it's like a good, I really do think it's a good match.
That's really cute.
And I have to say, like, after I posted about it on my stories, I did find out that Riley Vertez, Kendall's sister, is a big ass toaster, and she kind of gave me like some tea, and she just said like they're really happy together, and like I'm so happy for them.
That is so cute. I'm so happy that for them. I'm so happy for number seven. Like, he has stayed in my heart and in my mind ever since the video, and so to hear this great news, plus he's going to Harvard, like,
no, I know,
just and, love to see it.
And like, I feel like he could have dated like anyone, you know, and he could have went for like an obvious like LA girl, but the fact that he like, I don't know Kendall at all, but I just feel like she's a nice like hometown gal, and I feel like she's down to earth. Again, don't know anything about her, but I just get that vibe from her Instagram. So I think it's really cool that like he chose her and she chose him, and they are like gonna live happily ever after together, and I would like to be the godmother of their children.
Yeah, they chose each other just like Theo chose McPlant.
Theo is eating the plant. This plant is actually, while beautiful, proving to be a little bit of a hindrance on our production.
You know what we need? We need a plant that hangs from the wall.
Yeah.
Not one on the floor.
Theo.
Cause
come
like,
here. Come here, my angel boy. Come.
He goes hard for McPlant.
Come here, Theo.
Yeah, come on. Do, 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 do,
there he
do,
comes. Come here, my angel. Cutest. Come along with me.
And how's Theo? Started? How's Theo doing today?
He's doing good. Like, really feeling strong, thinking.
Did he watch Bruce on the episode?
He did not. Mm. He felt hurt that he was kicked out of the studio because of his cousin.
Yeah. But, you know, like, everyone deserves a little shine.
It's true.
But we all are really good.
I think we're all really good singers. We all sing a lot. That's the best fucking video, that Victoria Justice video.
I agree.
Okay. I feel like we've dilly-dallied long enough.
I feel like we've caught up, and now it is time to get into the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And that's definitely true, Jax. I heard Bertha. But in honor of Brutidou not being here, I have the next best thing. Brut-de-douche. Today's episode is brought to you by Bruch, the official toothbrush of the Morning Toast. Everyone's gotten on the Bruch train. If you are not on, you are missing it. The train is leaving the station. It is the most reasonably priced, most efficient electric toothbrush on the market. Some electric toothbrushes have the gall, the audacity to charge over $200. Not Bruch. They deliver a premium electric toothbrush for a very reasonable price, and it's so sleek and elegant, you're gonna feel like Kim Kardashian, like no clutter, no mess, it's just like everything of the sort. So the brush itself has six unique modes that you can customize your brushing experience. The battery life lasts 4 weeks, it comes with a magnetic charging stand, so it's very like elegant Elon Musk, very, you know, futuristic, and it comes with a compact travel case. They also offer a subscription program now, so you never forget to change your brush head again. Brush will ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn-down brush head, which can lead to bad breath and other oral problems. The design is very sleek. The Brush Electric Toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design. It comes in trend-driven seasonal colors, and it looks great on your bathroom counter. If you want to get 15% off your Brush Toothbrush Kit and the refill plan, use the promo code TOAST at Brush.com. That's 15% off using promo code TOAST at BRUSH.com. You can trust Jackie and I, and you can trust the thousands of toasters who have switched to Brush in the last couple months and are just so grateful for the elevated experience.
Yes. Love Brush. Sign on. Get a Brush. Okay. Are you ready for our first story?
Yes.
We need to talk about this. Bridgerton breakout star Reggie Jean Page, a.k.a. the Duke of Hastings, will not appear in season two.
Why? But why?
So the Bridgerton official account penned a letter by Lady Whistledown saying that...
It was a great announcement.
It was a great announcement. It was in Lady Whistledown's tongue.
It was the best they could have given us, like, bad news.
Yes, letting us know that he will not be in season two. Now, on the one hand, it's not a huge deal because season two follows a different Bridgerton child. We will be following Daphne's brother, the Viscount, and it's based on the book The Viscount Who Loved Me, whereas the first season was based on the book The Duke and I. So he...
Each season is not meant to be about Phoebe.
Yes, it's all going to... Did I call her Daphne? I think one of
her real name is Phoebe.
Oh, okay.
I think her real name is Phoebe and her name is Daphne in the show, right?
Okay, yeah. Cool.
Cool.
Yeah, so they wouldn't be the focal point of season two, but of course, like, just like the Viscount was in season one, like, you know, we'll get some action from the siblings in season two.
So let me say this. When it came to the second movie, I kind of assumed... We might, like, never see Phoebe and Simon, or Daphne and Simon again. Like, maybe, like, one season, like, they go to their house or something. Like, to me, they're going to live in the country, right? Like, they have this whole life. So I thought that neither one of them would be in the show, period.
Well, I think that, like, they'll be in the show in the sense that, like, it'll be the London season. The Duke and the Duchess are going to come to the parties. And the fact that the Viscount's sister is a Duchess, like, helps him in the marriage market. So it's just, like, they're not... stars, and I'm sure they'll have an easy job of writing the show without the Duke of Hastings being present, but like it would have been a treat to see them. Everybody fell in love with them.
No, it's so bizarre. Like, he must have gotten a huge gig.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that's probably what it is, and definitely doesn't want to like commit to more seasons of this show. He's a huge star now. He probably is commanding major roles, and to do a little cameo in this next season isn't worth his time, which I understand.
I don't know if I understand. I think there's a very delicate thing in Hollywood, like with the thing that made you famous. A lot of people like run from it. Some people lean into it. And I think, yes, it made him a huge star, but it could have been like a flash in the pan. It really could have. I think maybe committing to one, maybe two more seasons, like wouldn't have been the worst thing for him. But that's just my business perspective.
I personally agree because I'm just like, you know, nostalgic like that.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he has some great roles lined up. It's just going to be sad. It's sad for the fans that we don't get to see him.
Yeah, no. And I, as much as I'm sure the new season of Bridgerton is going to be good, like, I really am here for, like, the Simon and Daphne story.
I know, but we're, like, the ship, the like,
I know.
Has sailed.
No, completely. Like, they got their happy.
They're going to have, like, season two has actually a lot to live up to because it's, like, a whole new storyline. And season one is so beloved.
Which brother is it? The older one or the one who goes to those parties?
The older one.
Okay.
The one who was in love with the opera singer. Right?
Got it. Yeah.
Because he's the Viscount. There can only be one Viscount.
And he's older.
And he's a Viscount who loved her.
Yeah. I really didn't like him or his sideburns.
No, I really didn't like him because he was just like not being good at his job.
He was unlikable as fuck.
Yeah, no, and he wanted Daphne to marry like that.
That nasty Nigel.
Yeah, and she was the jewel of the season.
The diamond of the season.
Makes no fucking sense.
He's
going to have a lot to answer for in season two.
Yeah.
You know, now that we're taking the time to get to know him, which nobody asked for.
No, literally.
I want to know why you wanted Daphne to marry Nigel.
Yeah. I'm excited just for, like, a new season of something, like, we can all be excited about.
But also, the Viscount was good friends with the Duke of Hastings. So, like, in his pursuit of marriage, like, he could have gotten marital advice from the Duke.
But right, wouldn't he lean on his married friend? There's just going to be a couple plot holes.
Married friend and brother-in-law?
Right.
Who's going to give him sage wisdom?
Yeah, he doesn't have a father. His father passed away.
There's going to be a gap for sure.
For sure.
So,
devastating news for Simon, the Duke of Hastings, but We wish you well on your journey to megastardom.
Yes, that is very true. Now for some sad news. DMX has been hospitalized in New York.
Terrible.
He's been admitted to a New York hospital following a reported drug overdose.
On life support, like it's really severe.
Yes, the 50-year-old rapper experienced a heart attack triggered by an OD, TMZ reports. On Saturday, DMX's representatives confirmed to Billboard that the rapper is currently hospitalized. And as of Saturday night, DMX is on life support, Rep said. A source had told TMZ earlier in the day that the Yonkers bred MC, who has a long history with drug abuse, had some brain activity, while another source said he was in a vegetative state.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Well, wishing him the best.
Yeah, this is a developing story.
Yeah.
But very scary, very sad.
Very scary, very sad. Sending love to his family, like, truly, that's so scary.
Yeah. Like, wow. So, picking back up, Travis Barker joins girlfriend Kourtney Kardashian's family for Easter.
By the way, this Kardashian Easter was one of their best.
Right. That's what I wanted to talk about. Kardashian Easter came again.
And Palm Springs was shook to the core.
Everyone was out in full force, including Travis Barker joining his girlfriend, Kourtney. Kourtney called him her boyfriend on a TikTok. So
Alabama Barker with the premium content.
We already knew, but now we know.
For me, like, I didn't need a confirmation. Like, the kids hanging out together, like, they're obviously dating and they're obviously pretty serious.
Yeah.
And
I don't
I'm
know, but
so
it's just like
happy.
Something so juvenile when you, like, finally call someone your boyfriend, girlfriend, where it, like, makes it real, even for the fans.
100%.
So I'm living for it. I'm so happy. I'm happy for Kourtney. Her stock continues to rise in my book.
No, I know. Like, I'm actually, like, quaking because my entire kind of belief system, like, has been turned around because, like, I'm obsessed with Kourtney and Travis Barker, like, to the point where, like, I think about them all the time.
Yeah, no, it's so good. I don't want to think about it too much because I don't want to, like, jinx it.
I know.
So I'm just gonna let time pass and then be like, oh wow, it's been months, they're still together.
But, like, were his kids in Palm Springs? Because I believe that they were. I saw a TikTok of Travis in a pool with his son, and it just, like, looked like the Kardashian pool.
Well, that would be beautiful.
That I know, but, like, how big is that house? They have that many rooms. No, I know it's really big, but,
no,
like,
I thought
there's
the
so many people.
There's so many people. They each require a master bedroom, plus they have kids. Like,
well, there's definitely, I think I remember seeing, like, a huge room with, like, bunk beds, like, for all the kids. Like, there's a kid's room. I think there's literally one room for the kids, except maybe some of the older ones, like Alabama, probably gets, like, a regular room.
Yeah, but still, I had the same thought. Like, Kylie's not just going to be sleeping in some guest room.
No.
Neither is Kim.
I'm sure all the bedrooms are, like, master suites. They have, like, ensuite. We'd say bathtubs, like, I'm sure they're all, but, like, how many are there?
Okay, well,
Chris and Corey, Kim, Chloe and Tristan, Travis and
Kourtney,
Kendall,
Kylie.
So that's six rooms, just family.
Yeah, but then if they have the bunk room for the cameras,
one room for the kids, maybe there's two.
Then there needs to be a room for
adult
nanny.
Yeah, nanny, and, like, the adult kids, like Alabama. There's probably just, like, a regular guest room. So I would say that in order to stay comfortably, they need 10 rooms.
Yeah.
So, yes, the logistics of this Easter weekend, like, did keep me up at night because I was just, like, confused, like, where are they all sleeping? Like, maybe there's a local hotel some people stayed at. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, no. And also, I feel like sometimes when Kylie goes, she leaves the same night.
Yes.
But she slept over because we had daytime looks and then we had, like, next day Easter Pliny vibes.
No, and, like, everyone was there for the weekend. So, like, make it make sense.
Maybe they got two houses.
Yeah, maybe they, like, rented the one next door.
Yeah. I think that's good.
Yeah.
There's no way this house accommodated this entire family.
And even if it did, like, they're too rich to, like, be sleeping on top of each other for the whole weekend.
Plus glam, plus for all the campers.
Assistants,
all the campers, it's not just one nanny.
No, and, like, literally, like, how would even their cars fit in the driveway? Like, I'm just so concerned about all of these things.
Yeah, no, like, chef.
Chef. Yeah, no, it makes no fucking sense.
So I think they rented another house in the community.
Got it. I would love some follow-ups to this particular conundrum. But beyond that, they gave us so much content. Like, Chris's gifts for all the...
So beautiful.
For all the men was actually really interesting in terms of who was included. Can you pull up the picture? Tristan got golf clubs?
The clubs. Okay.
Scott was noticeably absent.
Clubs. Kris Jenner, Rob Kardashian, Khloe Kardashian, Kendall Jenner, Kylie Jenner, Kim Kardashian, Kourtney Kardashian. Then there's a pair of clubs to the left that I can't... To the right that I can't see.
I saw one with all the guys.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
I think I saw Travis Scott, Tristan Thompson, Rob Kardashian.
I'm Googling Kardashian.
I didn't see Travis. I did not see Travis.
You didn't see Travis.
No, but I just remember thinking, like, oh, that's an interesting group of men in terms of the golf clubs.
Oh,
can you find it?
Travis posted a photo of clubs. that look like they were part of the lineup.
No. Hold on. Let me just... I saw it.
Hold on.
This is too important. Just give us one moment.
Who got clubs?
Right. I just think it'll really kind of blow this thing wide open.
They love golf.
Well, they're in Palm Springs. Like, literally, what else do you do?
And also, Kris Jenner says that the golf course is a great place to meet a guy. Who got them? Travis? Yeah. Travis got clubs.
Yeah. No. Oh, and by the way, they also all got golf carts.
Yeah.
Like, what a gift.
No, and it's like, it's just Easter.
No, I know, but like, this is probably like the most low-key gift Kris Jenner's ever given.
Yeah, totally.
Oh man, it's bothering me so much. Like, why can't I find it? I swear I saw it. Kris Jenner golf clubs. I'm not letting this go.
Someone will also let us know.
Yeah, I know, but I just wanted to discuss. Was it here? Okay, maybe then I'm making it up if I can't find it. Like, that's probably more like it. But I swear.
Wishful thinking. You had a dream about
it. I swear on my life I saw like a Travis Scott one.
Oh, that's confusing. Travis Scott, Travis Barker.
Oh, I didn't even think of that either.
They have two Travises in the family. The Travi.
The Travi. Okay, whatever. What I was going to say was, though, justice for Scott, because it appears as though he was left out of this weekend.
Well, you know what? Like, if you want to be with Amelia in Miami and, like, dating underage girls, then go and do that. But you just can't have it both ways.
I completely... You can't get to be, like, the family-friendly guy and also the guy who dates 18-year-olds. I completely agree.
Yeah, I'm not even mad about it.
Well, by the way, I literally could not even find it. So that's so upsetting. Let me check one more place.
Okay. And then are you ready to move on?
Like, I don't think I'll ever be ready to officially move on from this particular story.
Yeah.
But for the sake of our show, yes.
Yeah, but we could talk about it later, like you and I.
You okay, know? You can if move you, on. I'm just could, still... Like,
FaceTime. No, this next story, I need your full attention okay. because it was something that you referenced earlier. But pregnant Lauren Burnham and Ari Leindijk Jr. are planning to move to Hawaii.
That's crazy.
They are moving to Hawaii, they said, revealing that their family will soon be residing on the island of Maui. They uploaded an 8-minute tour of their new digs on YouTube. The hillside home is beach adjacent and features a deck, 4 bedrooms, and 2 bathrooms. We're going to make all these memories here. We're going to have the best life. It's going to be like the perfect spot to raise our little babies. Aww. It's going to be cool. Ari said in the video, this is like a dream for us.
That is so cute. First of all, they are just like, I'm still waiting on, you know, the apology from Bachelor Nation to the Leindijk family, because they're like some of my favorites who just like are not thirsty at all. Like, they just live their life in Scottsdale, soon to be Hawaii. I'm really, really happy for them. And I really commend people who can just like, you know, throw caution to the wind and just like move to Hawaii, you know, yeah. Like, I wish I was like that.
No, and it's like, I thought they were living the life of Riley in Scottsdale, but like, no, it's just going to keep getting better. I do feel like they're always in Hawaii. They got married in Hawaii.
They have a connection.
I follow one, if not both of them. And I saw that they were in Hawaii, like making content and like saying they had something to reveal.
They were obviously like purchasing their home.
Yeah, no. I didn't fall for
the clickbait.
I didn't fall for the clickbait, but I should have because it was
very interesting.
A home tour. They're moving to Hawaii. Like,
I'm going to watch this home tour. I find that really interesting, and I'm really happy for them. I just like really like them. I think they're really nice people.
Yeah, I agree.
And their family's growing, and what a better place than to be born on the beach? Like, hello.
Yeah, and they're expecting twins.
Oh, cute! Mm-hmm. So it'll be a family of 5.
Yeah,
in a 4-bedroom house.
Ooh, don't talk to Kris Jenner. Okay, are you ready for our 5th and final story? It's a little donut news.
The 5th and final story. Yeah.
The 5th and final story.
No, it's the final story. Yeah.
Thank you.
I like that.
Krispy Kreme debuts Oreo glazed donuts for the first time. Take a look at these bad boys.
Oh.
Yeah, no, they sound better than they look.
Okay, can I tell you what I was thinking before you ruined it with that photo?
Like donut, Oreo donut?
No, I was just kind of thinking the same like glazed donut, but the glaze is like an Oreo glaze. So it's still just like a plain donut.
Oh, it's like little
but it's like a cookies and cream glaze. What you just showed me looks like, no offense, because I love the Entenmann's brand, but those box of 12 donuts they have with the chocolate covered, the brown sugar, like... They're really subpar, and they look like the chocolate-covered ones.
Yeah, I totally agree.
We'll post a picture of the Krispy Kreme donuts on our Instagram. Do not worry. But
sounds better than it looks.
Can I see it again?
Yeah, there's too much going on.
I don't understand what I'm looking at.
Like, okay, here's what you're looking at.
What's a donut?
Yes, you are looking at those Hostess-like donuts that are like the chocolate on the outside, but it's like a crust, and it's not premium.
Honestly, I thought... I really expected Mike Tubagari, whatever his name was, to do more. What was his name? Mike Tulsvi?
Mike...
Tullerberg.
Let's just go look at our episode title.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely Mike.
Tattle's Tale.
Oh, Mike Tattlefield. Something like that. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm
Mike,
on my way.
Mike Tattler.
This episode requires like the most
research.
Okay. Mike Tattersfield.
You were close. Mike Tattersfield, like, do better. This is not fucking it at all.
Okay. So not only it has that like hostess look on the outside.
It's like a shell of hard chocolate on the outside of a plain donut, which is gross.
And then the inside is like stuffed with a cookies and cream like filling.
Ew. Like so sick. I will try it, but probably not like it.
So the donut chain has partnered with Oreo to create two brand new treats. Oh, there's two. The iconic glazed waterfall will be transformed to cover donuts in a rich cookies and cream coating.
Oh, that's what I just said. That's what we want.
The two limited edition donuts have also been added to the menu. The Oreo glazed donut.
That's what I just said.
And the Oreo cookie over the top donut. So there's a donut with a cookie
Maybe
on top.
Maybe just the photos they took are bad.
Yeah, these are bad promo photos. The former is covered in the new glaze, stuffed with cookies and Krispy Kreme signature cream, then topped with crumbled Oreo pieces and an icing drizzle. The latter is topped with cream and chocolate icing, then finished with an Oreo cookie. Is anyone like confused confounded?
Three donuts, they all sound the same.
No, like this is just so many descriptors for a donut.
I know, and I will try it, of course. But I just want to say I'm disappointed in the photos. But speaking of Krispy Kreme, which has been just like the topic of discussion for the last week, since Passover is over, we're having a delivery from corporate. Yeah, that's right. This is our episode. And we're going to be doing a mukbang on our YouTube. We also got the Tall House chocolate pie from Beverly Hills Cafe that we raved about last week. Literally, there's one remaining Beverly Hills Cafe in Miami Lakes. And you and I... like spoke about it obviously, and I got reached out to by every single person who worked there, who's ever worked there, who owns it, who claims to own it, like every single person. We got ourselves the Tall House cookie pie, so that plus the Krispy Kreme delivery will be a sensational mukbang, and you better subscribe to patreon.com/themorningtoast.
We have some good stuff coming up this month. I'm actually really excited.
Me too.
Okay, those were the Fast Five stories. I feel as though you needed to know them.
Debatable. Definitely the Bridgerton of it all, and definitely the Palm Springs Kris Jenner of it all. But I think other than that, DMX too, but I had already known that.
Other than that, you could have lived without.
Today's episode, no kidding. No, I just like to talk, so whatever. No,
same, but let's talk about Real Housewives of Atlanta, and then I want to talk about all the other shit I watched.
Sure. So Real Housewives of Atlanta, we wrapped up our trip in New Orleans, and I actually felt bad for Drew. Like, her whole trip went to shit, and she tried really hard to, like, make it a nice trip, and I think in the beginning it was, but it got overrun by the drama, and honestly, I am, like, the biggest Marlo fan, but, like, I don't know what the hell she's doing.
No, I mean, she was so wrong.
All over the place.
She said she was drunk, so, like, maybe we should just leave it at that,
but also, like, next week, did you watch a preview?
What's happening?
They had said that they heard from somewhere
yes.
that Marlo got liposuction, and that's why she was like, said her back was hurting her. She didn't go to like half of the events.
Yeah.
So actually, like, it's a decent theory. And so maybe she was just like out of sorts because she was acting a fool, like, why am I being put in the middle, while literally like firmly placing herself in the middle when nobody put her in the middle.
No, she was being crazy. And when she was like taking the picture, she's like, move in fakes. Like when they showed the flashback, I was like,
move in fakes. That was funny.
Right. No, it's funny, but she was just being mean to everyone.
Yeah, like, she was like on one.
So I think she said that it was the Patron. So like maybe she was drunk, maybe her back, like, I don't know. But I feel like she doesn't stand by that.
I hope not because like she's usually like pretty... Like, I feel good following her, but I was like, what are you doing? Like, and she really did make a whole scene in front of Big Frida.
Right. But sometimes you're on a trip and, like, things just go haywire. And there's always, like, a night that's, like, weird and crazy.
Haywire.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I completely agree.
Like, drunk and hungover and tired.
Jet lagged.
And cabin fever.
Yeah.
And it just, like, things go south.
I agree with you. But what I feel so, you know, kind of proud of is, like, since I started watching Atlanta, like, I've always, without a doubt, like, blindly followed Miss Portia Williams. And after last night's episode, I just felt, like, even more cemented in that feeling and, like, so proud of my decision. Because not only is she so funny, like, she just makes me laugh so much. When she was going toe-to-toe with Kenya and, like, giving Kenya nothing, just being like, yeah, yeah, you're jealous. Like, I was living for it because it was driving Kenya up a fucking wall. And, like, I just really can't stand Kenya. And I think Portia's, like, the only one who knows how to fight with her. And I was just living for the whole scene. Like, her not giving Portia, like, her not giving Kenya, like, an inch.
Whoa, he's about to fall off.
About to fall off, right?
Let him. Like, he needs to learn.
No, no, no.
I would never let you do that.
Oh, no. Yes, I agree. And then, like, by the end, because Portia didn't give Kenya the reaction that she wanted, it's like, wait, so Kenya, what did you want from all of this?
No, and it's like, she
what do you want Portia to say?
That she fucked Bolo. And literally, Kenya's like, no, I mean, I don't care, but, like, stop lying. But you do care. I don't care. It's so obvious that Portia, it's giving me, like, vibes from, like, Brandy and Denise. Like, it's obvious that they fucked, but, like, the point is that it's none of our business, and it's certainly not fodder for the TV show.
I totally agree.
So it's the same exact situation. Of course Portia fucked Bolo. Like, she's a single woman. Why shouldn't she? Who cares? It's none of our business, and she obviously didn't want it brought up. And Candy, who I now have so much respect for, is the only person who really understands what's going on. Candy was right next to her. Candy knows she was fucking Bolo, and probably Tanya was in there too. Candy says it's nobody's business.
Yeah, and Candy is unwavering in her refusal loyalty to talk about it, which I really appreciate.
And respect. I completely agree. Mm-hmm. I love that her and Portia just, like, fled the fucking state. And, oh my God, like, when the lights went out and they got stuck there and they, like, they go to commercial break and then they're just, like, magically home. Like, how did they get home?
No, I know.
I think they had to stay probably for, like, 3 extra days. Like, it was a bad storm.
I want to know how long, if they, like, had to move flights and stuff, but I feel like if they did, they would have shown it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just, like, I'm so Portia. Like, get me out of here. One, because I'm not having a good time, and two, because there's a storm. Like, I'm not being stuck here with these girls.
No, I was literally, like, having anxiety thinking about the storm. I was stuck, like, on a vacation. Like, yeah, you could just stay in your room and, like, do your thing. I would just, like, want to be home so badly.
So badly. I've made the decision now, like, that I feel like we're enough of the season in. Like, I really like Drew.
Yeah.
I think she's, like, a good time gal. She's fun. She did her best planning the trip. But, like, when Kenya was, like, in the confessionals, like, this trip sucks. Like, South Carolina, I win. I was like, oh, my God, I cannot. No one's even comparing the two.
Yeah.
I just can't stand her.
I know you can't.
And where has Brooklyn been?
I don't know. We didn't, like, but she said she was going to check on her at one point in the episode.
Yeah, but, like, we literally didn't see Brooklyn the whole episode.
Yeah, but, like, I didn't think we were going. Like, I think she's just trying to be able to do it all.
No, I know, but, like, on the previous trip where she brought Brooklyn, like, Brooklyn was, like, the center of the whole thing.
I guess.
I just, like, haven't even seen her, like, in the bedroom, like, hanging out in the back.
Yeah.
Maybe she's in a different room.
I think she's in a different room.
With an
Like, Annie. Kris Jenner's house. Yeah.
Right. It all comes back to Kris Jenner's house.
Yeah, next week does look really good, though.
Yes, I'm curious about this whole liposuction ordeal. Like, where did Marlo go? Like, are they taking appointments, you know?
100%. 100%.
100%.
Okay, other stuff that I watched this weekend that I just want to share with the class. So I told you I watched the movie Elizabeth last week, and I really didn't like it. So I watched The Other Boleyn Girl, finally, because I really liked the book. And while the movie was good, and I can imagine if I had only watched a movie and not read the book, I would have really liked it. But considering the book was so long and, like, everything was really drawn out and, like, took so much time, I thought that the movie was really rushed. And I was like, if I didn't read the book, I would have no idea what's going on, you know? So then I started the book Mary, Queen of Scots.
I remember.
But it's 800 pages. And I was already, like, I did the sample on Kindle, and I was just, like, not sure if I was going to continue. And I was like, you know what? There's a movie about this. Maybe I'll read the movie. Maybe I'll watch the movie, because just like Boleyn Girl, just one or the other. So I watched the movie Mary, Queen of Scots, starring Saoirse Ronan and...
Saoirse
Ronan and Margot Robbie.
Cute.
And it was... I didn't love the movie, but I liked the story. So I was like, maybe I'll continue reading the book. So right now I'm still reading the book, but I'm at like 8%. I don't know if I'm going to continue, because otherwise that will take up all of my time. But then last night I started the show The Last Tsar, which is about the last Tsar of Russia, Nicholas Romanoff.
Girl, you are just like on a journey.
I'm on a journey, which is why, like, I can't be watching Dance Moms.
No. I'm telling you, like, please. Like, for me, like... first of all, I know you will love it. And second of all, like, it's really a cultural phenomenon. Like, I think just, like, for research purposes, like, you need to be more well-versed in the pyramid, in the Abbey Lane.
I'm not good at my job. And, like,
You are, but, like, you could always be better, you know?
Okay.
Do better.
I hear you.
Do better.
I hear you.
I will go on the journey with you. Like, I will rewatch it. It's so fucking turned. Like, it's so good.
Okay. Like, just give me a few days to, like, come out of what I'm going through right now.
Yeah. And, like, while I really am happy for you on this journey, like, I just, like, I don't really agree with it. Like, this whole, like, historical figure thing. Like, you need to get back to watching trash. Like, let's go back to Hallmark. Like,
it's like,
we need to dumb ourselves down. Like, this is the morning toast. Okay.
No. I know. And I know that it's like, it doesn't, like, I spend all these hours watching all this stuff that, like, has nothing to do with the show.
Your job. And, like, when you bring it up, I'm, like, happy for you. I'm like, people don't care. You're like, about the Queen of Scots.
Okay. I think some people care, because I get a lot of recommendations in my DMs. Like, a lot.
I would love to be wrong. Please, let's add a segment. The Queen of Scots segment. Like, I would love that.
The Queen of Scots
segment. Do people want to hear it? I don't know.
Let us know if you're interested in this historical journey that I'm on. You know, maybe I could spark notes for you guys and we could all learn a little something.
Yeah, that's true. Like, me, know nothing about history. Me, no smart. So like, it wouldn't be that bad, but I'm just used to talking about like dumb shit on the show.
Yeah, but like I'm still doing my homework. Like I'm still watching The Housewives and whatnot.
There's nothing on tonight, which is such a joy.
Such a joy. And it's like after this last year of like literally watching so much garbage, like I need to be filling my head with
premium
with better stuff.
That's fair. That is a fair point. You're right about that.
So that's where I'm at. Also, speaking of books, Redhead's Madness is underway.
Okay, let's talk about it.
And it's madness, you guys.
Oh!
Like March Madness?
Yeah, you keep calling it Redhead's Madness, and I'm like, what's, it's maddening. Like, I didn't know you meant like March Madness. That makes more sense.
Yeah, it's like March Madness for all the Redhead's books. Everyone has been voting in the polls. We're about to hit the semifinals. We have one poll that's going right
now.
How
many books is it?
We have done 18 books total.
So now you're at the top four.
Yes, there's two polls that are finishing themselves out. It looks like I know who the winners are going to be, and both of them are shocking. Like, genuinely shocking. I am shocked by the Redheads.
Well, so I was keeping up with it briefly, but I've only read, like, three or four of the Redheads books, so I couldn't vote in most of the polls. And I actually had completely forgot that my book was a choice for the Redheads. So had I known that, like, I would have been more invested in, like, all the voting and stuff. But you told me yesterday when I spoke to you that I made it to the semifinals when, like, I dead-ass thought I was not even going to, like, I didn't even know I was involved in the chart. And the fact that I made it to the top four, like, if I don't make it one step further, I'll be so glad. Like, I'm up against Maya Angelou, like, real fucking authors.
Yeah, but again, like, all of, so many of the books that I thought would be, like, straight to the semis, out. So let me tell you about your journey. First, you were up against The Glass Hotel, which I was probably one of the most literary books that we chose.
So it's an easy win.
Everybody hated it. Like,
oh, good. Okay, easy win.
True. And it was my choice. And it was on every list, like every recommendation. And I just don't think it's not what the Redheads were into. Okay. I got it. Message received. Easy win. Then you went up against Nothing to See Here, which you've read, which is an amazing book.
Loved. Loved, loved, loved that book.
You swept the category. Next, there's a match going on right now between Codename Helene and How to Fail at Flirting, two Jackie's choices. And shockingly to me, it looks like How to Fail at Flirting is going to be winning, which is what you'll be going up against next. Because if you were going up against Codename Helene, which I personally think is the best Redheads book, like it's my
favorite. But that's just your,
not the best,
that's just your opinion.
My favorite one.
Wow.
I would
sitting
be,
right here.
I would be so conflicted.
No, that's okay.
No, and I already came to peace that I was going to vote for you, actually.
No, but I don't want sympathy votes. That's the thing. That's why I didn't even want to address. Like, I didn't want,
you don't wanna,
I want the Redheads community to like really, I don't want to
vote with their hearts.
I don't want to win because I'm like talking about it. Like, I want to win either because I deserve it. And even if I don't win, I'm so proud to have made it to the semifinals. Like, and I really, really mean that. It truly is an honor to be nominated. So I didn't even want to like talk about it because I don't want to sway. I really want people to vote with their hearts, like not with like, you know, the Stanhood of the toast.
So now my prediction, even though all my predictions so far have been wrong, I do think I think it's going to come down to in the finals, Girl with No Job versus Before We Were Strangers.
Wow, that's so crazy. Like, so like in the finals, yeah.
And everybody loves Before We Were Strangers, which was a Snitch's choice.
Has it been sweeping its own?
Yeah, it's swept every category so far, but it hasn't gone up against anything too difficult yet, I don't think. So
whatever, like even if I make it to the finals, like again, please don't vote for me just because you like hear me saying it now.
Only
like,
if you've read the book,
yeah.
Please vote.
Keep the integrity of Redhead's Madness. It's really important to me, like for real.
Yeah, no, and so far I feel like, I think there's definitely a lot of integrity, but I also think that some people tap through and they're accidentally voting in the second
option. I did that.
So for the next round, I'm going to move the poll to the left so that we can have, you know, more clarity in the results.
Or just because, like, make it a little smaller.
I know, but yeah, you know, yeah, no, I can, I think I'll be able to,
yeah,
to
no,
achieve
yeah.
the integrity.
Yeah.
But you guys, some of like the fact that Husband's Secret is beating My Dark Vanessa, like what? I thought we all loved My Dark Vanessa. Like,
no, this is the thing. Reading is so personal. It's personal as food.
It's as personal as food and as personal as comedy.
Yeah.
So it's highly interesting, and I think it will definitely instruct our choices moving forward.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, oh, you guys just want rom-coms all day, all
right,
night.
Right, no, okay. That's what I was saying. Like, and that's what I've learned. You know, I usually, like, for the last, like, 10 years, the only books I've really read are celebrity memoirs. Now getting into this whole, like, nonfiction space, I've realized, like, wait, nonfiction, right? Yeah. What people like...
Fiction.
Sure. What people like is like
so
romance, murder, and sex. Like, if you don't have like at least four like very erotic scenes in your book, like I don't want it.
No, and the Redheads don't want it.
No, Colleen Hoover, like she is literally like writing these scenes. I just followed her on TikTok, and I guess you never think about like who the person writing is because you just think from the perspective of the narrator. But now that I know like Colleen, and she's like a mom and she has kids, like I'm like, I cannot read these text scenes. Like, I know her.
No, sometimes looking at the author's Instagram is the worst thing you can do. Quickest way to ruin the book.
No.
Sometimes it supports, like, everything. It just depends on the type of book. But sometimes it's just like, what?
No, but also, I really liked following Colleen Hoover on Instagram. I mean, on TikTok, because she did, like, a whole makeover of her, like, writing room. And she has these bookshelves that you need for, like, the redheads. Like, even in here, just, like, keep track. They're DNA bookshelves. So they, like, spiral up. And they eventually, when you have them filled out, look like a DNA spiral. And it's, like, really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And, but you, I mean, you only have 18 books. Like, I think it's literally, like, 100 books per.
We'll get there.
Yeah, you'll get there. It's never too late.
It's never too late. And considering that it's clear that everybody loves A Snitch's Choice, this month is Snitch's Choice. Christina Lauren, Twice in a Blue Moon. Like, I think it's going to be, like, Before We Were Strangers vibes. I think people have already finished it and they were, like, they loved it. So that will be really exciting. Makes it the perfect time to become a redhead. If you are a redhead, please vote in the next round of Redheads Madness, coming to our Instagram stories today at, like, 3 o'clock.
One more thing. So on Friday's show, we were wrapping up and then we forgot, like, that we had something to say. And we had a whole conversation, like, after the wrap up, and we said, like, we feel like nobody hears us when we say something, like, that we forget to say after the wrap up. And I have to say, I got absolutely no messages. Like, nobody heard the end of our episode.
Oh, I saw a thread in Toast After Dark, and someone sent me today that their screenshot of their podcast app, where every episode says, like, 3 minutes left, 4 minutes left, they stopped listening, most of them. But some people heard it enough to, like, start a thread about it and talk about when they stop listening. So here's the deal. People who listen on their phone on the podcast app, they end when we say that's all she wrote.
Right.
By the way, it's not over yet. Keep listening.
It's not over.
People who listen in their car, they let it play out and then it cues up into the next thing. So I think if you're listening, I would say if you're listening with AirPods, you stop. If you're listening, like, far away speaker, and the pause is far away, you just ride it out.
Interesting. Okay. Because, like, I try to always, you know, get everything in before the thank you so much for listening to the Morning Toast. But things happen.
Things do happen. And usually we're pretty good about leaving it all behind us.
But I just thought I would get, like, a bunch of messages from people being like, no, I listened to the last second.
No. Nope. Oh, so since you're not listening all the way to the end, definitely.
Go back to Friday's episode.
Oh, no, no need. I think I was just giving a Redheads update.
Oh.
Right?
I don't know.
Did you say? It wasn't that important. No, I was going to say, so you never hear our spiel about, like, subscribing and leaving a review. And so,
oh,
like,
yeah, you should listen
but
to the whole
you
thing.
Should definitely subscribe and leave a 5-star review. And head over to our Patreon for more premium content.
Thank you so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the
keep
fast
listening.
Five, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places, wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us The Morning Toast and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Have a great day.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.